Good day, folks. This is Shane Hastie for the InfoCube Culture Podcast. I have the privilege of sitting down at Agile 2018 with Lisa Adkins and Halim Dunsky. Lisa was the co-founder with Michael Spade of the Agile Coaching Institute. And Halim, you and I only met this morning.
Yes, well, you're not going to count yesterday evening. Have you forgotten so soon?
It
was all, good for me, Shane.
We are in the time warp of the Agile 2018 conference.
It was yesterday evening.
Shane, I am the steward of the Agile Coaching Institute today in its new home within Solutions IQ within Accenture.
And I'd really like to explore what it's like to be in that new home in a few minutes. But before we get into there, what's happening with agile coaching? We saw something at the conference about the golden age of agile coaching.
That scares me a little bit because that sounds like there's a fall right after the golden age. But, you know,
on the other hand, you might say there's a deep future from which people can look back and say, wow, wasn't it great then?
Wasn't it great? It was a golden age.
And then it fell.
But I think some of the things that tell us we might be in a golden age of agile coaching are the number of organizations that have vastly different approaches and philosophies and models for agile coaching that are all accredited to the same industry standard learning objectives so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel and so we can make it easier for the industry. Like, some things don't need to be hard. And knowing what agile coaches should know, do, and be shouldn't be a hard thing for everyone to have to invent on their own.
And I think we are seeing that there's an even larger group of companies and organizations of various kinds who know that they need agile coaches, but all they know about it is that somebody called an agile coach, go get me some agile coaches.
Yeah.
And they lack the discipline of understanding the maturity and the learning that's required in order to function effectively as a coach.
And you're making me think, like, another reason why we might be in a golden age is because now there is a marked difference between those folks who call themselves in agile coaching and haven't done the enrichment work to get the breadth of skills and also self-leadership, you know,
internal work so important,
and people who have done that. And I'm increasingly seeing organization leaders know the difference. It's kind of like they don't know exactly what that thing is over there, that person's different, but I want me some more of that. And so there is now a distinction that I don't think was as prevalent before, because now we have so many practitioners who have taken the time to really embed the skills in their being.
Perhaps a hard question, or maybe not. What makes a good agile coach? If one of our audience is looking out and saying, okay, we're struggling or we need some guidance in adopting these ways of working and making these ideas real in our organization, what should they be looking for?
I think I want to point us back to the panel we did last night. So maybe you can provide a link for people to that panel, because that question was asked and answered in several different ways in that panel. In this moment, I would say download the learning objectives and read them. That's what makes a good agile coach.
The message in that, I think, is that when you look at the objectives, you'll see that partly it's about skills and partly it's about way of being. Mm-hmm. You know, just in the same way we talk about be agile rather than do agile. Well, for a coach, it's also about how the human being who is stepping forward as a coach is able to show up and deliver, as is needed, the kind of support that the individuals and teams require in order to grow into their own being in the agile space.
I love that, and I love hearing Halim's answers, because Agile Coaching Institute has been on a mission to expand the number of co-leaders we have for our curriculum, and Halim is one of them. We call them the Generation 2 folks. And some others, Katrina Ferguson, Simon McPherson, a couple others. And I love hearing his take on it, because what's happening is what I hoped for, which is that the state of the art is continuing to advance with this next generation of leaders.
I'll speak to that just briefly. When I started on this journey a couple of years ago, the journey of learning to be in the co-leading capacity in this organization, I initially was very absorbed in skills. What do I have to know how to do? What models do I have to understand? What techniques do I have to be able to deploy with those that I am training, and what do they need with those that they are coaching. But very quickly, what became obvious to me, important as all of that is, what was even more important was my ability to show up in a depth of being that allowed me to be making choices about what I was doing from moment to moment, not reacting out of habitual patterns and not going to my go-to space because it's what I know the best, not showing up as the expert because of all the years I've been developing in my career on the basis of my expertise. All of that stuff recedes, and what comes up instead, what am I able to manifest in terms of self-awareness and self-management and making choices? And this turns out to be where the power comes. It allows me to serve the students, and as much as they begin to learn that, allows them to serve their teams in their own growth. That's where the juice is for me.
You know, we've often said that as we're teaching these agile coaching classes, probably the most powerful learning people are getting are what they're seeing us do moment to moment. And that's not something that most students are actively conscious about, but I think it's a deeper level of learning that kind of sneaks in under the doorway and really gets into people's bodies. And you're exemplifying that in the way you were speaking just now. And also that there's a parallel path of what we're doing as teachers is what our students are doing when they go back in their organizations, just for a slightly different context, not even that much of a different context.
I want to go back to what you said about the learning being settling into the body. Mm-hmm. And this is not a piece of conventional thinking about what's important in skill building in business. In the body, what's that? Well, what we learn is that interesting stuff, only some of it happens in the head. And in order for it to really have impact, it's got to move down into the heart, down into the belly, be grounded in the body of the coach. Mm-hmm. And this has meaning. Mm-hmm. And where it goes is the ability to actually have impact in organizations that are having difficulty adopting practices. You have management cross-chop, people operating across purposes. What do you do to shift that situation? A lot of it has to do with coming into the grounded understanding and the ability to touch people on a human-to-human level. Mm. I see you making that gesture of down into the body.
Yeah.
I appreciate what that says about you hearing.
Mm-hmm. For the aspirant coach, the person who wants to become this voice of influence and who really does want to bring other people along on a journey towards agility. No, it's not agility. Agility is not a goal. It's a means to an end, but a journey to more humanistic places, to more effective workplaces. What does that person look for in themselves? How do they know they're ready to go on this path?
I don't know that there's a threshold of readiness to begin, but I think there are things we learn to pay attention to that mark our development and our progress. The ability to live with ambiguity, the ability to live with contradiction, the ability to live with not knowing, the ability to monitor one's own internal complexity of process. These things are all markers of increasing cognitive complexity, which we believe is a very strong requirement for dealing with the kind of organizational global complexity we face today.
Yeah. And to the aspirant agile coach, I would say if that list of things that Haleem just went through didn't make sense, go start to look them up. And when you are reflective enough inward to see your actions and your thoughts as objects rather than things that run you, that's a good time. That's a good time to start going on this journey to develop yourself to be that instrument of change. And that instrument that helps organizations in the really confounding time we find ourselves in. The place where there's hardly ever a black and white answer, much less a right answer. And it's some of the things you mentioned, ambiguity, contradiction. And I think these are things that agilists are good at because the agile frameworks themselves set us up to harness the change and the chaos and the chop for good, you know. So maybe if you're an aspiring agile coach, able to look at yourself, like do a little internal retrospective, that's a good marker. And another one is, if you're asking the question, you probably should be on the path. You know, because there's not an entrance exam for this. You know, when we teach agile coaches or people doing agile coaching, I want to expand it that way. When we teach people doing agile coaching, they come to us in all sorts of, you know, starting places. And at least the curriculum at Agile Coaching Institute, and I believe many of them accredited against the IC Agile learning objectives, no matter where that student starts from, they move. And so it doesn't matter if someone is starting from, let's say, an earlier place or, you know, maybe a more self-developed place where the complexity of mind is a little greater. I think it all works.
The impact of the experience that we bring in and create provides that kind of generative movement, no matter what the person's starting point is, you know, within a fairly broad range.
And I would say, like, having some battle scars is a good place to start. Like, where you've tried a few things with teams, you've been in the Agile game for a little while, and you just haven't been able to have the impact you wanted to have, or you wish you had a different way to approach that thing that you know, wakes you up in the middle of the night, that conversation you keep rehearsing in your mind. You know, those are indicators that someone's ready.
One of the key things that we see is the person who crosses the line from, I can be more effective if I learn to do all of these other things, to, I can be more effective if I start to understand how the way I show up is impacting the effects that I have with the skills that I try to use.
I want to shift the phrase we're using a little bit. We've been saying Agile coach a lot. And one of the things that I think the Coaching Agile Teams book that I wrote unintentionally created was this kind of lesser than, greater than dichotomy that I see in a lot of modern organizations that are using Agile, which is where Scrum Masters are kind of like some sort of second order citizen and Agile coaches are the gods. And that was so not my intention. So the long story short is that the company I was working for when I wrote the book used the word Agile coach because they didn't want to get married to Scrum. They didn't want to call those people Scrum Masters. And so by me using that as a general term, I think what it did was kind of create, shoot, who do I think I am that I created that? But maybe it was a contributing factor to creating this thing we see now where I see it all the time in organizations. People are now saying things like, we're going to get rid of our Agile coaches because our Scrum Masters have become administrivia order takers. And so we want those Agile coaches to go away so the Scrum Masters can get the skills the Agile coaches have. Well, by the way, the Scrum Masters needed all those skills. It was never intended that the Scrum Masters would somehow be some sort of administrative function.
In my sense of it, a Scrum Master who is really fulfilling the ideals of what Scrum Mastering is about is a coach.
And that's the big shift we made in the IC Agile learning objectives, is to say, you are all coaches. Kanban lead, Scrum Master, XP coach, like whatever you call yourself. We have people now calling themselves Agile team facilitators. Cool, fine. You're coaches too. You are all doing Agile coaching, and there's just steps of development. And so I think it's useful for us to really look at this as a community of, like, what did we create? That we somehow created this layer of Agile coaches, and they're the only ones who can help teams do the hard things like work with conflict. Which doesn't make sense, because the Scrum Masters and Kanban leads are on the ground seeing the conflict. Like, they need those skills.
They do. But ironically, because of the way so many companies are set up, there is a need for, at least there's transitionally and over a transition that lasts for years, there's a need for this kind of administrative support, and there is an appetite to find lower cost people to do it. So the Scrum Master becomes a lower paid rung on the HR ladder, and they reserve the title of coach for somebody who they hire in smaller numbers and pay more to.
Or a place to put their managers who they're already paying more money to.
That's another thing.
So now we're into the clash of good intentions from the Agile community and older structures that exist, mm-hmm. which is really honestly not my forte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people would categorize it as pragmatic reality in the business world.
Yeah, and some people would categorize it as, you know, things that need to die. I do struggle. I struggle a lot with where Agilists are spending their time, attention, and talent. And should we on a certain day kind of quit the places that aren't going to allow us to express Agile and just band together and work in other organizations that will or create our own. In the meantime, we're situated, many of us are situated in these much larger contexts.
Agile Coaching Institute is in a context like that today.
Yeah.
That's a really good segue into my next question, in fact. Yeah. Agile Coaching Institute started off as a beacon of lights, perhaps, in this world, and then suddenly it was consumed inside a larger organization. And within a couple of months, there was an even larger organization. So what has that transition been like for you as the principals of the Coaching Institute?
I feel like I want to just give like an integral explanation of why it made sense to do that. And then we'll talk about... I look at your face. Are you ready for the integral explanation? He's like, oh, an integral explanation. Yeah. So if I look at it from like a large marketplace or systems point of view, by 2016, Agile coaching had largely crossed the chasm. It wasn't hard at all to sell Agile coaching classes. Agile Coaching Institute was small enough that we just couldn't keep up with the number of people who wanted to come to us. My husband would say, you should open your email because there's money in there. And I'm like, I don't have time to open my email. Like, there's a problem with that. So they were like, those were the larger system dynamics we were playing in. We were also seeing larger players come into the Agile space and say, we want to be more like you guys. And so from that perspective, it felt like what ACI was here to do was to help birth Agile coaching as a profession, create kind of a prototypical curriculum that other people could follow along in the footsteps of that. Like, you know, when we created the first 5-day boot camp, our peers told us, no one will do that. People can't get off for 5 days. You will never sell that.
It's our best-selling course today.
Yes, and we created the space for other people to come along after us and do that. And so like for a lot of reasons, it just felt like time from a systemic point of view. From a metrics and process and measurement point of view, by 2016 into 2017, Agile Coaching Institute, the leaders of Agile Coaching Institute, we had been getting lots of metrics that said, it's time for us to not run this organization anymore. It's time to hand this football to someone else who can take it down the field further. And one of those is when I just mentioned, my husband's like, open your email, there's money in there. Like, we were having all kinds of breakdowns in sales. We actually got the message very clearly that we needed to not develop any more curriculum, that we needed, that the business was our product in the year of 2017, and we ignored that advice. Our metrics were telling us to build more of a business, and we were just having a lot of fun delivering. So that was going on. Also, what was going on is us as individuals were feeling the need to branch out and do other things. We had given very, very lovingly and willingly had sacrificed a lot of our own desires for ACI's mission. And I was feeling out of integrity because I hadn't been on the ground in years. I hadn't been doing coaching work in years. The other principals of ACI wanted to branch out into leadership and consulting and those sorts of things. And so we tried to do that together within the context of ACI, and found out that it was just untenable. And one of the things I really want to mention to everyone in the audience is that even us, even the ones who are system coaches, can easily fall prey to human system dynamics, and especially as we brought in other people to help us with this. Then the message I have to tell people is, don't wait to hire a coach. We did not hire a coach for our human system. Now, we had different coaching relationships, like these two people had a coach and those two people had a coach, and all of us individually had coaches, but we did not hire a coach for our whole human system. And I, to this day, go like, what the heck was going on with that? So the big thing is that human systems can induct us, right? So for all those reasons, it made a lot of sense to sell Agile Coaching Institute at that particular time. And Michael Spade and I made the decision to do that as early as early 2016. It didn't come to fruition until October of 2017 when we sold Agile Coaching Institute to Solutions IQ within Accenture. I've never said all of that in one go before. And I was discovering a lot of it as I was saying. I've been thinking about it, actually. Because a lot of people are very content with that description of, oh, it was time from a marketplace perspective. And in any situation, there's a lot more going on than that. And that kind of analysis that I just went through is what we teach our Agile coaches to do for the situations they're in with their teams and their organizations.
Very important. Very important. I want to emphasize that by going over that ground just a little bit. It was very easy in many situations to just do the simple explanation that you gave at the end. It was time, the business needed it.
Yeah.
But actually, all of this ferocious intelligence and hard work was going on inside, and everybody's ability and intent to track it and make sense out of it is huge. And that's part of the secret sauce of what we're trying to get across to our students. This has to become a way of being in order to be able to deliver on the promise of coaching.
Yeah.
So what's it like to be inside this larger organization?
Challenging.
Kind of like what our students go through all the time.
In a word.
Yeah.
We have all kinds of new opportunity that we never had before.
Absolutely.
And we're looking today at a number of inquiries for work from us that I frankly don't know how we can pull together the capacity to deliver at the level of quality that we need to maintain. So that aspect of the promise has really paid off. At the same time, it's also true, large company, a lot of bureaucracy, some things slow down quite a bit and they get more complicated and less pleasant.
Mm-hmm. So you touched on that, on a point that I'd like to delve a little bit deeper. How do you keep that quality? How do you keep the integrity of the promise that Agile Coaching Institute had right from the very beginning, that shining light, when you are getting this huge demand?
Lisa has set a very high bar for the developmental activity that the co-leader trainees need to go through in order to be considered ready to step up in front of the classroom and deliver on this experience. And the position that we're taking is those are the standards that we have going forward, and we're not going to dilute that simply in order to be able to deliver more classes. If we had twice or three times the number of faculty, we could probably deliver a lot more classes. But it's going to take time to build that faculty. We're taking that time.
Yeah, I wrote a blog post about this because so many people were curious about this. There is a very common model in our community, which is if you want to license someone's class, you go watch it, you get ordained a teacher, and then off to the races you go. And so a lot of people assume that's what we were doing as well. And I wrote a blog post. Oh, actually, it was exactly this time last year. I came out right around the Agile 2017 conference that actually lays out the journey people are going through. And just like with Agile coaching itself, you know, like Agile coaching has a list of competencies that you have to develop yourself in and demonstrate, we have a list of co-leader development, of competencies co-leaders have to develop and demonstrate. And so, you know, as we're going through this development process, so by the way, it's not like these are newbies we're starting with. These are like really experienced Agile coaches, also highly trained professional coaches and facilitators. So they already have that coming in. That's like the starting point. And, you know, just like Agile coaches get assessed against a known set of competencies with scoring and all that sort of thing, so too do these co-leaders as they go through and getting assessed against the co-leader competencies.
And it's not like a graduation assessment and you pass and you're in, but this is a continuous repetition of being mentored by the senior coaches and reviewing the competencies and being in conversation about where do I need to grow and how can I engage myself to move in that direction.
Yeah. And it's typically, you know, months to a year or more than a year before someone is what we call an A leader. And a co-leader is someone who's like the pilot in command of the course. So it's their own hero's journey. I mean, for certain. You know, Helene, we started this thing off with Helene talking about, as a co-leader of these coaching courses, how your being matters so much. Well, that's what really gets worked on. You know, each of these co-leaders find some demon or some dragon they need to slay as part of their hero's journey so that they can show up fully and authentically and not as the wah-wah-wah expert, but as the person who can work with the thing that's arising in the room in the moment, even if they feel like they are losing their own ground.
You say each of us finds a dragon that we can work with, as though we set out on a journey to see where the next dragon is. I suppose at some level that's even true, but the experience as I've lived through it is more like the thing kicks that out of you and you have to learn to deal with it and engage with the real personal internal difficulties. Mm-hmm. The situation between co-leaders is not always fun and games, sweet and pleasant, and we learn to work with each other.
We keep those relationships really clean.
That's right.
Really clean.
And by the way, that is a prototype for what we're trying to bring our students along the journey of learning how to be clean and conscious in their engagements with their teams and coaches, and it ripples out into the broader world. How do we show up with our partners and our children and our communities? Mm-hmm. All of this is part of the larger movement of bringing increased heart and consciousness into the broader world.
Lisa and Helene, thank you very much for this. It's been a really interesting insight. If people wanted to continue the conversation, where do they find you?
Come to agilecoachinginstitute.com. You'll find contact through the website and you'll be able to take a look through the offerings that we have and a lot of resources with additional information on some of these topics we've touched on too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shane.